1 through 13. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and any sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I suppose it's time for me to address the elephant in the room. I figured a pastor who was shipwrecked would not be wearing a coat and tie. So I chose not to. If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. I love doing things my way and tending to my own preferences. I love living in a time when my own preferences can be satisfied. Most things around us, most things we purchase or obtain, are special ordered to me. For instance, one of my favorite kind of restaurants to go to is a restaurant such as Chipotle or Qdoba or Moe's. You know what I'm talking about. You go up to the counter and you get to make your burrito or taco bowl or taco salad however you want it. You can walk right up to the counter and you can see how much beans they're putting on your burrito or how much chicken or how much rice. You can then tell them what kind of salsa you want, or if it's too much, or if you'd like a little more, or if you'd like more cheese, or less guacamole, or more guacamole, or more queso, whatever it is. And you can't do that at most restaurants, right? You kind of just have to order it as it comes. I remember when I was young and we would go by McDonald's, I did not want anything on my burger. I just wanted the plain burger. And so when we would go through the drive-thru to order our McDonald's, I would want a burger, but we would say, no pickles. And we would have to pull off to the side for 10 minutes because they would have to make a burger that didn't have a pickle on it. You remember when that used to happen? I think now it's not so bad. They generally put the burgers together right as you're ordering, so I don't have to wait a long time. But I remember sometimes it just wouldn't be worth going to McDonald's because I know I would have to wait an extra 5 or 10 minutes just because I didn't want a pickle on my burger and still don't want a pickle on my burger. Then there's also the upscale restaurants. We like to eat there, sometimes more frequently than others. Valor and I ate at a couple last week when we took our anniversary trip to Washington, D.C. But of course, the problem with upscale restaurants is you order off the menu and you try to get the best idea of what it is, but you still really don't know what's going to come back to you. And sometimes you can order something that sounds so good and has a word you can't pronounce, and you say, that's going to be good for me to eat. And then it comes back to your table and you say, ooh, that's not what I expected to see. We had a couple of those last week where I had to Google on my phone as I was reading the menu. I had to look it up to see what it was, to see if I wanted it or not. So yeah, I like those restaurants where you can see what they're doing right in front of your eyes. You can know how much you're getting, you can know what it looks like, and you can order it to help satisfy your preference. We're increasingly getting used to that. Most things are tailored to us, even our phones, our electronics that we use at home, our appliances, they're all tailored so that we can have total control and that we can work them to our preference. We don't ever have to anymore really accommodate a cookie cutter type model of appliance or something. We can tailor it to our needs and our specifications. This whole idea that we have to sacrifice our desires or our preferences for someone else is an increasingly foreign concept for us. About everything can be tailored to how we want it. So it's tough to, in many ways, eat family style when we each want to be picky. And we each want to order our own food, specified exactly how we want it. Not too much of this, way more of that, none of that, but I would like some of that. That's how we're tailored. That's how we're growing. That's how we're forming when everything around us in the world comes at us that way. There's no room for humility. There's no room for a modest or low view of one's importance. Our world says, you don't need to think that way anymore. You can have it exactly how you want it. We are, of course, in the middle of our summer worship series that is partially based on Tom Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member. We do things a little bit differently in the summer. We do more of a teaching series. And so though we are focusing on the scripture today, we are also looking at the book, I'm a Church Member by Tom Rainer. And today's chapter, even though this sermon is called The Selfless Church Member, today's chapter is actually called I Will Not Make Church About My Own Preferences. I will not make church about me. I will refrain from a me-centered mentality at church. Paul reminds us in our scripture today that our preferences come last in the body of Christ. True humility in thinking less of ourselves, and more specifically, less about our preferences, is the way we will be most like Christ in the church and the way we will separate ourselves or show that we are unique from the world at large. Beginning with Christ, looking to our Savior is how we define ourselves and how we look to our relationships and how we put ourselves second. Hearing once again from Paul's words that Jesus chose to become a servant, and not just a servant, but the lowliest status of servanthood, and succumb to a painful, humiliating death. I'd say there's no greater example of selflessness and no greater example of putting aside your own preferences, because I sometimes think if I were in Jesus' shoes, I would say, I don't prefer to be killed. I don't prefer to go to the cross so that I can get what I want. But Jesus laid aside all of his personal preferences in order to serve humanity and to die for our sins. It is in this humility that the glory of God was made known. And Paul says in a very apparent way, therefore, because that is how Jesus was, you must become to one another as Christ became to you. Speaking to the body of Christ, saying that Christ will be made known among you and through you because you act towards one another and treat one another in the same way that Christ looks to you. Yes, you must put your power aside for the sake of others. If you are truly like Christ, if Christ is among us, we will have tenderness and compassion. We will have like-mindedness and unity, which was the subject of our worship last week. We will have the same love, one in spirit and mind. We will do nothing for ourselves, but we will do everything for others. Jesus tells us that in the kingdom of God, the last will be first, and the first shall be last. And so it is in the church. But I think I would say, and I think you would agree, that this culture of getting what we want and focusing in on our preferences and our priorities has snuck in through the cracks of the church, wouldn't you say? We are an organization that should not focus on our preferences. It is the opposite way of the world. We are an organization that does not tolerate or allow for everyone to seek their own preferences. At least we are supposed to be that way. We are to be the light that shows that we can find joy in being selfless and that we don't simply find immediate gratification getting everything that we like. Joy in the church is found when you give up your preferences and when you live your calling for the whole. The author of the book, Tom Rainer, his organization did much research about what's going on in the church today. He looked for churches that were about personal preferences. He did a survey, and in this survey, looked at churches who served their own needs. They were looking to their inward needs and to their individual needs and not to the needs of the community and not to those in the community who were the least of these among us, those who truly needed to hear the gospel and to understand that Jesus is here to offer his loving, gracious presence. Tom Rainer did research, his team did research, and found a correlation between churches which catered to their own preferences and priorities and unhealthiness. And because this is a teaching series, I'm going to read these off to you today and see if perhaps we're guilty of tending to our own preferences more than others. The first conclusion was worship wars, that individuals and factions in the church want their own personal style or preference of music, of mood, of atmosphere, of look. He found that churches that were inward-focused and selfish had many inconsequential meetings, ignored the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and focused on their own needs. They were very facility-focused, that the physical grounds got the highest priority in all meetings and budget meetings. They had programs without focus. They just put stuff on the calendar to put it on the calendar. They had an inwardly focused budget, largely inter-church items, inordinate demands for pastoral care. In other words, churches who would expect much personal attention from the staff or pastor or deacons. They had attitudes of entitlement, groups and individuals who believed that they deserved something because they had been in the church a long time. There was also anger and hostility towards change, that if a new event or something was proposed that would seek to spread the gospel even more, it would anger the church. And there was, of course, evangelistic apathy. They were more concerned about their own needs than the needs of the community. Maybe we're guilty on a couple of those. I'll leave you to think about that in your heart today. I truthfully can't imagine a church that won't struggle with at least a couple of these points. If you found some areas in there that you believe we struggle with, believe me, we're not alone. This is something all churches deal with. But it does remind us, that if we get so inward focused and focused on our preferences, not just as individuals in the church, but in the church as a whole, we may be headed down a destructive path. I don't believe that any of these issues make a church evil. All churches struggle with being inwardly focused. But this gets us right back to the topic of this series in general. This gets us right back to week one, when we talked about the importance of being a functioning church member and how giving of yourself in the life of the church is not like a country club. It's not like becoming a member of a particular restaurant's card club where you get a free lunch at the end of 10 purchases. We are here to serve others and not to be served. Can you imagine if we took Paul's words seriously about valuing others above ourselves and about putting our own personal preferences aside? If Tom's list considered outward-focused churches and missional churches, it might look something more like this, that worship would transcend style because worship is meant for God and not for our own tastes in music. It would mean that our meetings would focus on details as they seek to answer the overall mission of the church to love God and to love others. Our church programs wouldn't just be slapped on the calendar, but they would be done intentionally with a way to show Christ's love to the community. Our churches would still have meetings, but those meetings would center around how we could be good stewards of what God has given us and how we can utilize our monetary blessings for the mission of the church. Those meetings about committees and team leaders would be about how we can better serve one another and not just our own selves. And if there ever were anger or righteous anger or passion, it would not be directed at each other, but it would be directed outward towards injustice, oppression, and poverty. We wouldn't get angry about what color the carpet is or what side of the sanctuary the piano or the organ might be on. We'll get angry about hunger. We'll get angry that there are those being cast aside around us. We would get angry at those who are suffering and can't find medical care. We would get angry about those things. And then we would mobilize to share the love of Christ in these situations. I want you to be in prayer and to be thinking about how we can make church less and less about our own preferences. It is an ongoing struggle. It's not something we're going to solve overnight. It's not something we're going to solve with one visioning process or one new pastor. It's something we must continually be in prayer about. And we must continue to focus on the world around us, what the community needs, that they need the love of Christ. I almost can't think of a better example of a church engaging in a selfless ministry than Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School starts tonight at 6 o'clock. Many people have already given up their personal time, their personal energy, and their personal preferences to prepare beginning tonight so that we can relate to and love kids in Jesus' name and share the gospel with them. Folks, Vacation Bible School doesn't always fall in line with an adult's preference for time, does it? Do you think that in this busy society we have 2.5 hours to give up every evening for 5 days in a row? Not always. Do you think in this busy society, do you think that even in any society, that it's easy to accommodate the needs of children when we're not used to it? That's difficult. And so the people who are giving up of their week to love these children for the sake of Christ will set an example for us of what it means to be selfless in the name of Jesus and to put aside personal preferences and priorities in order to share the gospel with those who need to hear it. That's how I'd like to end this sermon today, in a different sort of way. I'm going to ask everyone who is working VBS this week, I didn't tell you about this, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask that you would come to the front. We'd like to have a prayer of blessing for you and a prayer of thanksgiving. For you giving up, you can come on to the front right now as I continue to ramble on just a little bit more. Folks, these are the individuals who have given up their week, who have given up hours this week in order to share the love of Christ with children in our own congregation, children who are connected through this congregation through family members and friends, and children who are registering even now from the neighborhood who we don't know who will be here. I'll quickly say that we had a group of folks who were here prepping this stage and other parts of the building who were sitting out front yesterday showing the community as they drove by that something exciting was going on here. And last night, as I watched my inbox, several VBS registrations were rolling in. Because they drove by, they saw smiling faces, they saw balloons, they saw individuals who were here ready to welcome people into this church. So I want to thank all of you standing at the front and all of you in the congregation who have been praying and perhaps you've given some financial support towards this Vacation Bible School. I want to thank you for thinking of others before yourself, for thinking of the kids who will be coming in these doors that we've never met before, and for trusting that these leaders and ultimately God is going to lead us in sharing the good news of Christ. Let's bow together and ask that God would be a blessing to our Vacation Bible School this week.